bodies, but of four leprous bodies, beggars outside the gates of the city of Samaria. And they had an opportunity to do their full best, to do their duty, to try to save not just 17 people, but an entire city who were dying of starvation. In chapter 7 of this chapter, in verse 13 of this chapter, it says, a multitude had already perished in Israel because of starvation. I want us to look at four facts concerning these four lepers and learn today about a day of good news. And so let's ponder on that. Let's consider that. Let's open up our hearts and think about what happened on this day. First of all, I want you to pay attention to their severe desperation. I mean, this is a deplorable situation that's going on here. And I want you to see that. It says in verse 3, now there were four men who were lepers at the entrance to the gate. And they said to one another, why are we sitting here until we die? If we say, let us enter the city, the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. If we sit here, we die also. So now come, let us go over to the camp of the Syrians. If they spare our lives, we shall live. If they kill us, we will but die. Now, there are really two reasons for this desperate situation, for this severe, deplorable, desperate situation going on here with these four lepers. First of all, Ben-Hadad, who is the king of the Arameans or the Syrians, has taken vengeance against the prophet Elisha and the desire to take over Samaria. And so he has surrounded the city with his army. And what he's done, he's cut off the food supply. Go back to chapter 6 and verse 24. Afterward, Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, mustered his entire army and went up and besieged Samaria. And then there was a great famine in Samaria. This famine was so severe. This was such a deplorable situation. These people were in such a desperate situation that such delicacies as donkey heads and dove poop was being sold for ridiculous prices. And that's not the worst of it. Women were actually eating their children. Cannibalism. Just read the rest of what's going on here. And even what's worse is the king Jehoram of Israel, rather than calling for national repentance because their wickedness was so great and he was such a wicked king himself, what does he do? He blames God. Blames Elisha. Sends a captain of his bodyguard to his house and says, this day I'll have the head of Elisha. Well, that wasn't going to happen. The second reason that I want you to see in this severe desperation is these four lepers. I mean, here they are, lepers at the gate of the city. And they're starving even much more so than the people in town because they were beggars, and now their begging ability had come to an end. And the people in Samaria, they weren't going to give even crumbs to these crummy lepers. So they're in a terrible situation. And when I think about this story, it gives me a glimpse of the spiritual condition of the world in which we live. I mean, people are doing abominable things, horrible things, They're cannibalizing themselves in a spiritual sense because they're dying and perishing in their sins. All around us are people that we know who are lost in their sins. Helpless, hopeless, unable to save themselves. Book of Romans in chapter 6 says the wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so I want us to think about the severity of the sin problem that we're having to deal with in the world in which we live. These lepers had three choices. They could enter the city, but in violation of the law of Moses, they'd be stoned to death. And of course, there's no food there for them, so they would starve. They could stay where they were and die of slow starvation there. Certain death if they just stayed where they were. Or they could get up and go into the Assyrian camp. Perhaps the enemy would feel sorry for them as lepers, sores all over their body. Maybe their fingers already gone. And they would share a little morsel of food for them and spare their lives. Or they might run them through with the sword, and at least that would be a quick and merciful death. So there are their choices. And so we see the severity of sin. In 1 John, John says, whoever commits sin transgresses also the law, for sin is transgression of the law. But then he says, and you know that he, Christ, was manifested to take away sins, for in him there is no sin. So we have a wonderful opportunity to take the gospel to the lost. And because of the severe desperation of people lost in their sins, the Lord charged his church, did he not? Yes. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not will be condemned. They're condemned already. But they're certainly not going to be saved without the gospel of Christ. And so here we are with the gospel in our hands. Here we are in a world who is lost in the severity of their sins. And that mission that came, that was placed upon the first disciples of Christ, is a mission that's still upon our shoulders. When I think about the fact that the gospel was taken to the whole world, according to Colossians chapter 1, in that first century in less than 30 years, I think about the fact that this had to be true. The early Christians, of which we read about in the book of Acts, they weren't going around thinking, well, what has this world come to? Where is this world going? But rather they were thinking, what and who has come into this world that we can share with our lost neighbors? I hope that'll be our attitude in 2018 here at Crockett and in Tate County. And then I want us to think about their surprising discovery. Go back to chapter 7 and start reading with me at about verse 5. And so they arose into the twilight to go into the camp of the Assyrians, the Armenians. And when they came to the edge of the camp of the Syrians, behold, there was nobody there. Nobody. The Lord had made the army, the Syrians, hear the sound of chariots and horses, the sound of a great army, so that they said to one another, behold, the king of Israel has hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of Egypt to come against us. And so they fled away in the twilight. Abandoned their tents, their horses, their donkeys, leaving the camp as it was and fled for their lives. And when these lepers came to the edge of the camp, they went into the tent and they ate and they drank and they carried off the silver and the gold and the clothing and they went and hid them. And when they came back, it entered into another tent and carried off the things from it and went and hid them. What a surprising discovery. I mean, can you imagine the bewilderment of these four lepers when they go into the camp and the soldiers have abandoned their tents? I mean, things are just scattered along. All their livelihood, food of all kinds, and even the wealth of the spoils of war, silver and gold, all of a sudden they've got more food than they've ever had in their lives. They've got more silver and gold than they could ever spend. What a surprising discovery. I mean, they were rescued from certain death, and now they had more refreshment and riches and raiment that they could ever use themselves. And when I think about that reality, I think about Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, church, with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. I mean, we have been translated out of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Because of our obedient faith in the gospel, we've been clothed with Christ. We have put Him on in baptism, Galatians 3:26 and 27. We have all the riches and all the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the wealth of His spiritual blessings in our hands and in our hearts. I mean, if we have experienced a transformation in our lives, we need to be transmitting this good news to others. If we have found something vital in our life, the abundant life in Jesus Christ, then we've got to be vocal in Jesus Christ and tell others about these wonderful blessings that we have received. Well, you think about these lepers, their surprising discovery. And as you see this situation, you see that all of a sudden these lepers, instead of becoming beggars, all of a sudden they became hoarders. They took the loot and they went and hid it. God, unknown to these lepers, had already performed a stunning miracle. Created an audible illusion that caused these Assyrians to flee their camp. God in His providence was working things out for these lepers and for the people of Syria, in spite of their sins, in spite of the wickedness of their king. You know, we serve a merciful high priest, don't we? We serve a God that does not want any man to perish. He wants all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. Are we going to be selfish? Are we going to be hoarders of our spiritual blessings? Are we going to keep this good news to ourselves? Will we selfishly be like these lepers were to begin with? I'm thankful that their conscience began to work on them. And as their conscience began to work on them, it reminds me of this. Evangelism is nothing more than one beggar telling another beggar where to find food. So in evangelism, that's what we're attempting to do. We have surprisingly discovered the riches of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we've applied it to our lives, and we've embraced the abundant life in Jesus Christ, and we've got to be about our Father's business. My question to us is this: are we doing our duty? Are we doing our best to tell others the surprising discovery of the spiritual blessings that we have in Christ, or are we doing our best? Now I want you to look at verse 9. Because here we see there's a serious dilemma. And they said to one another, we're not doing right. A serious dilemma. There they are in the tent. I mean, they're partying throughout the night. But they've got more than they ever had before. And so they're living it up. But then they come to themselves, we're not doing right. This is a day of good news, of glad tidings. If we're silent and wait until the morning light, punishment will overtake us. Now therefore, come, let us go. Let us go tell the king's household. Well, these lepers are caught up in their excitement. And you can understand the excitement, the enjoyment that they were having in these blessings. No longer are they suffering. No longer are they starving. But the people in Samaria are starving. They are suffering. A multitude has already perished. And so their conscience began to convict them. And they began to realize that they had been worse off than everybody, but now they are better off and in better shape than anybody. And so the serious dilemma is that if they continued to hoard and to hide their newfound blessings instead of cheerfully and willfully sharing them with others in need, of their neighbors and their friends in Samaria, a greater suffering than they have ever experienced as lepers could overtake them. And so they said, we are not doing right. They reasoned that they had a responsibility to share their blessings with others. This was a day of good news. And brethren, when you think about the situation in which we live today, we face a serious dilemma too, don't we? We don't think about it, but it's a reality. And that is, in our evangelistic outreach, if we don't accept the responsibility that it is our duty and do our duty, that we need to do our best to share the gospel with the lost, the reality is, we could very well be lost again if we don't. Now I hope that hits you in the heart, because that's where I'm aiming. That's where God is aiming. And this story vividly illustrates that. What? Jesus wants me to win others to Him. Amen, church?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for that amen. And I hope that you mean it sincerely in your heart. Why does the church exist? Luke 19:10 says, Jesus came to seek and to save those who are lost. And we're the body of Christ here on this earth. Part of that body, Christ. Are we going to hoard the gospel? Are we going to selfishly keep it to ourselves? Are we going to remain silent? Or are we going to mess up? We're not doing right. And if we can't go into foreign fields, we can send. And I thank the Lord that you are sending and helping us in Mexico. A survey was taken of 100 churches. And the first question was, why does the church exist? And in this particular survey, 89% answered that question. The church exists to take care of my family. To take care of us. Basically, to keep house. Only 11% said to win the world for Jesus Christ. Brethren, I hope the Crockett Church will never forget that even though you are tremendously edified on every Lord's Day, Sunday night, Wednesday night, anytime you gather together, you're edified. You're growing in the Lord. You have the fellowship of one another. You have the prayers of one another's brothers and sisters in Christ. And all that's part of what God wants for His church. But we're not to be primarily a worshiping society. We're to be an evangelistic community.
Amen.
Taking the gospel of Jesus Christ to our lost and dying friends. And then finally, I want you to think about their sympathetic decision. Their sympathetic decision. Go back to the text here and let's look at it again. They said, we're not doing right. We got to go tell. And so verse 10, they came and they called the gatekeepers of the city and they told them, we came to the camp of the Syrians and behold, there was no one there. We couldn't see anybody there. Nothing but the horses and the donkeys and their tents were there. Then the gatekeepers called out and it was told within the king's household. And the king rose in the night and said to his servants, I'll tell you what the Syrians, he's suspicious, see. He's not a spiritual man. He's blaming God. He's not thinking about how God might intervene and help in this situation. And so he says, I'll tell you what the deal is. They have hidden themselves out there, and as soon as we come out of the city and find their belongings that they have left, they're going to sweep in and they're going to capture us and defeat us. He's suspicious. He's in a frenzy in his suffering from starvation, but now he's fearful of what could be the outcome. The people say, well, we got five horses still left. Let's send five riders out there and the horses and see. Let them go investigate. And so they ended up just sending two. And when they get there, they find out that the lepers were right. Came back and told the king. And because of that sympathetic decision, they were able to rescue the entire city. Now let me ask you something. Has not God called us to be sympathetic saints with the sinners of this world? We're saved sinners. Telling other unsaved sinners where to find the bread of life. And so, this story illustrates our need to have sympathy, to have empathy, to have compassion. They not only had compassion, they had courage. It takes courage to do the will of the Lord and to do it in the way that it needs to be done. And then think about these lepers. I mean, their whole lives, all they had received was apathetic attention. Nobody cared for these lepers. Nobody. They were just barely getting crumbs from people's hands. Begging out there at the entrance of the gates of the city. Nobody had cared for them. Everybody's indifferent and complacent toward them. But instead of acting spitefully, they act with sympathy. They could have thought, well, these people deserve. Look what they've done to us all of our lives. Let them die. No. They finally came to a spiritual reality that these folks needed to be helped. And just as God used four lepers to save a starving city in Samaria, in that same way, God's using us. Amen? We need to get out of the four walls of this building and go and tell. Come and see what the Lord has done for us through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, as I said before, In many ways, brethren, we're living sheltered lives. That's good. I mean, you've got wonderful Christian homes. The only sin that comes into your house comes through that television set, probably, or your computer. You can turn it off just like that. But there are people sin sick in our society that they can't turn it off. I mean, they're involved in drugs, and alcohol, and prostitution, and they've become so addicted to their sinful lifestyle. They're dead in their sins. And in that human depravity, it's getting worse and worse and worse. And brethren, it's not going to get any better. And people are dying and going to hell just about like that right there. We couldn't be driving bulldozers and pushing people off into torment any faster than they're going there. We've got to feel constantly a sense of urgency. And especially our neighbors, our friends that we love. And so there was Ed Spencer, sleeping in his dorm, but he was awakened in the night. You need to go out and try to rescue some people dying, drowning out on Lake Michigan. And he saved 17. And I want to encourage us and to challenge us as a church to let these words sink into our hearts and our minds. We are not doing right when we hoard the gospel to ourselves. This is a day of good news. If we're silent and wait, punishment will overtake us. May God help us. At Crockett, at Lake Harbor Drive, where I preach, in Mexico, wherever the Lord's people are, to take heed to the great commission to take the gospel to a lost and dying world. Maybe you're here this morning and you're not a Christian. Jesus said one time in John chapter 6 and verse 35, "He that comes to me will never leave, and he that believes in me shall never die." I pray that if you're here today and you're not a Christian, that you'll think about how much God loves you. Send His Son to the cross to die for you. And He's asking you this morning to respond in faith and repentance. Be buried in baptism. Receive the riches and the raiment and the spiritual food that only comes through the gospel of Christ. Become a part of this church family. Begin to live the Christian life with all the joy, blessings associated with it. And then begin to share that gospel with others. May God help us to be enthusiastic, sympathetic saints, loving lost souls like Jesus loved the lost. And maybe that's you today. But it doesn't have to be that way. It's cold outside. It's warm in here. I don't know if it's cold or warm in that baptistry. I hope it'd be warm. But if you need to become a Christian, we encourage you to make that decision. Do it right now while we stand and sing.